Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Won't you stand? Won't you stand? You're not finished with me. Guys, this is, we're talking about new norms. As far as God's concerned, nothing's changed. We are who we are in Him, and we're here for a specific purpose and task to fulfill. before he returns. Father, we are so grateful. Father, we praise you for being our God. We praise you because you are God and our need for you is so obvious. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for the joy that's been set before us and is in us. Today is going to be a day of reckoning for us. God's word is a challenge to us as we walk by faith. Are we going to do it or not? It's really simple. I mean, God's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. He did all the work. All he's doing and all he wants is for us to believe that he'll do what he said he'd do. That's faith in its simplistic approach. So let's give God all the glory and the honor. Let's give him the praise and respect that's due. Let's honor him by trusting him to do what he said he'd do. Praise God forever. Well, this is Sunday morning at Sarita House of Worship, and we are here to present the gospel to you. We thank you for tuning in. My name is Pat Bannister. I'm associate pastor here. And I want to encourage you this morning. I have a word. I have a word for you, and I want to share that with you. If you would, please turn to Mark chapter 10. That might be. That might be a mistake. John chapter 14. Let's go to John chapter 14. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." This is a word of God for you, a word from God, out of God's word to you and me this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus went before us to prepare a place for us in heaven. He's had 2,000 years, approximately. I wonder what he's got going up there with that kind of time. If he can create the universe as quickly as he did, I just wonder what he's been doing all this time preparing a place for us. What's it going to be like? A mansion, a dwelling place that only our imaginations can really look at and consider as to what it is. And you know, something I want to do this morning before we get going, we're here to honor God and in our own lives, especially with what's going on right now. As believers, we need to show the world around us that we honor country too, which we are. That's why there's only a handful of people here this morning. We're honoring what our president said, what our governor says. I want to start this day by, if you would, with me, saying the Pledge of Allegiance to this great nation that God's given us. Praise God. So wherever you're at, please stand with me and honor this great nation if you can stand with us. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Amen. You know, God is an awesome God. Today I want to talk to you about covenant. I want to talk to you about the promises of God and ask you the question, are you fully persuaded today? Are you fully persuaded in what the Word of God has said about you? Now, in John chapter 17, I'm going to read this to you also. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, Father, through thy word. Thy word is truth. We have a covenant with God, and his word is truth. Are you fully persuaded in what God says in his word to you and to me? Are you fully persuaded in the covenants that we have with God, the promises of God that we have entered into by faith through the finished work of Jesus Christ? That's a question that we need to think about and analyze. Do we really believe everything God says? Do we believe that God's word is absolute truth? You know, in Psalms 119, 130, the Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, and it gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of God's word gives absolute light. It's the truth. You can take it to the bank. If God says it, that settles it. His word is absolutely true. It's absolutely light. And in Titus 3:8, the Bible tells us, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You know, in the Greek, it says the word, is trustworthy. It's not only absolute light, it's absolutely trustworthy. What God promises, we can act on knowing that what we are doing by faith, and that it will not return to him void. Throughout the scriptures, the Lord is constantly trying to convince us to trust him. In Hebrews chapter 11, in chapter 4, the gist of these scriptures, I want to just jump down to verse 6, if we could, please. It tells us that God could not persuade the children of Israel at this point, that first generation. He couldn't persuade them to enter into the promised land, the things that he had prepared for them. Verse says, in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth, that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. We need to not be in that position. We need to not be unpersuadable. We need to be persuadable. Are you fully persuaded that what God says is absolutely true? We need to be, without question. Believe that God will do what he said he'd do. It tells us that the children of Israel would not trust him and take him simply at his word. Don't be unpersuadable. Say yes, sir, to what he asks you to do. Don't give doubt and unbelief the time to move in. Be spontaneous. When God asks you to do something, be spontaneous. The moment to do what God has asked you to do is right then. The anointing to do what God has asked you is right then. Don't put it off. You've all had experiences. I've had experiences. We've all seen how when we have the wherewithal to be spontaneous, God says, do this. You do it, and a miracle happens. I've shared this story. It's been a long time, but a buddy of mine I grew up with, a pot grower from back home, I stopped by to see him when I first became a Christian. I went back up. I spent a week back home just going around telling people about the Lord. And on my way out, up on the side of this hill was a great big house. And as I was driving out Highway 101, God said, go see him. I said, no, I can't. I know. I don't know what's going on up there. He goes, go see him right now. I did a U-ey on the highway, went up to his house, pulled up. No one there. I mean, no cars. It looked vacant. But as I was walking up to his house, I saw his pool room where all the pool tables are out, and started walking up to his house, big glass doors. And so before I got out, I actually beeped my horn. I had a musical horn on the car at the time. It was my brother-in-law's car I'd borrowed when I was there. He was in the house with a double-barrel shotgun in his mouth, ready to kill himself. And when I honked that horn, he was just getting ready to pull the trigger. What if I would have not stopped at that time that God asked me to? I was there in that moment, being sensitive to what God was asking me to do. His life was spared. He came out, gave me a hug. He goes, thank God it's you. Brought me in, just poured his heart out to me. Be spontaneous. You never know, because if you look at things through your own understanding, it may not make sense. But if you're getting that inward witness in your heart that you are to do something, don't put it off. Make it happen at that time. Praise God. Say yes, sir. Do what he's asked you to do. Don't give doubt and unbelief the time to move in. Be spontaneous. In Mark 6:52, I'm going to put my eyes on this too here. It's an illustration of when Jesus was walking on the water, and most of us know this story. He walked up to his disciples, freaked them out. They thought he was a spirit. They didn't know what to do. They were afraid. And in verse 50, he says, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. And he went up to them and to the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They considered not what had just taken place. They saw the feeding of the multitudes and the bread and the fish multiplied as he handed it out. They didn't think upon, that word consider means they didn't think upon, they didn't focus on, they didn't ponder or deliberate, they didn't meditate on these things. And we need to do that when we look at the things God's saying, asking us to do. Think about what he's done before. Remember what he's done. Be encouraged in the fact that he's going to do it again. Are you focused? Are you meditating day and night on what the word says about you and to you? Like God said to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 8. He told Joshua to meditate day and night. That word meditate means to mutter to yourself in a small tone of voice. I mean, speak to yourself the things of God. Meditate on it. Declare thou the vision God's given you. You know more than I that you believe what you say more than anybody else. And the old adage is true. The more you say it, the more you believe it, the more you believe it, the more you say it, the more you say it, the more you believe it, the more you believe it, the more. It's how God programmed us. You know, faith is voice activated. Science has even proven this out in their study of the human brain. They know that if you proclaim something to be so, your body and your mind will move towards that. God created you that way. It's not, to God, that's natural. The things that we consider supernatural, the children of Israel, the Red Sea splitting, congealed, backed up all the way to Adam or the city of Adam, that's natural to God. And he's in us. When Jesus was in the garden, This shows you the power in the spoken word. This shows you the power God has given us because he's in us. When he was in the Garden of Eden, or not the Garden, I'm sorry. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was waiting for the troops to come and get him and to pull him away. When, I forget exactly what it's called, not a legion, but the Roman troops that came in to get him, it was a number of 300 to 600, plus the temple police that came in to get him. As they approached him, they said, "Where is Jesus of Nazareth?" And he said, "Are you?" He said, "I am." Not, this is an old bowling alley. You've seen pins go down abruptly. They went down with a force that they didn't understand. "I am." And those that were there knew exactly the words that he was using, that he was declaring to be the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, Yahshua, El Shaddai, in the flesh. He's in us. And when we proclaim his word, there's a force that comes out of us, a creative force, a powerful force that we need to have an understanding of, especially in the day in which we live. You go to the stores, you see the people out there. There is so much fear in our communities right now around the world because of this unseen force that's coming against humanity. We are God's witnesses in the world. We are his ambassadors. We are a bearer of good news. When you see someone at the store that they are scared to death in what's happening, you have a golden opportunity to encourage them in the things of God and just say, "You know what? God loves you, and you watch. He's going to get you through this. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray for you as I leave. God is going to do a good work in your life. I believe that." Will you believe that with? I mean, I've gone around to stores at night. I was sharing this with Brother Hank, I think, on purpose. 9 o'clock at night, when these folks are out there working their tail off, some, they're exhausted, but they're working. And I just walk by and I thank them. I thank them for what they're doing for our community. They are an ambassador of themselves, man. They are someone that's representing us, that's doing this work so that we may have food on the table and hopefully toilet paper. We need to let them know that we love them and we're there, and God is going to do a miraculous thing through all this. He always does. Nothing's changed, because whatever Joshua, again, chapter 1, verse 8, meditate on the word day and night. What you meditate on, you will focus on. You will become. Because whatever you focus on, your heart is drawn towards. Matthew 6:21. Whatever your heart, because whatever you focus on, your heart is drawn towards. You know, for where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Now, in the same manner, back in Mark 6:52, whatever you fail to consider will keep you insensitive, cause you to harden your heart towards the things you're considering on or focusing on. So we have both aspects of the word here to tell us what to do, what not to do. We need to consider, we need to meditate upon the things that God set before us so we will understand. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you." Keep the main thing the main thing. Seek first the kingdom of God. Your heart will follow after the things that you pursue. It will. You know, and I want to back up just a minute. Something I wanted to give a simple illustration about is that, as I said earlier, throughout the scriptures, the Lord is constantly trying to convince us to trust in him. I want to give you a beautiful illustration out of Malachi chapter 3. This is an illustration that God gave us about how to draw nigh to him. It's a very simple simple analogy. You know, in verse 10, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, chapter 3, verse 10. And please, if you're taking notes out there, write these scriptures down, go back over them, ask God to show you what he wants to speak to you through them. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, hear what saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. A devourer is anything that's keeping you from accomplishing something. Keeping you is hindering you from going after what you're trying to pursue. God promises to rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall you cast your vine. I'm sorry, I'm back up. Neither shall your vine be cast her fruit before the time of the field, says the Lord of hosts. Trust God with your money. You don't give a tithe. You release it back to God. He wants you to let it go because he knows your heart will follow. This is another beautiful illustration of what we have all belongs to him. It does, you know, it doesn't belong to us in the first place. So he's trying to show us, you know, the rich young ruler. I think the reason they call him rich is because when he came up, this is where I wanted to go in Mark 10 originally. In verse 17, it says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled up to him, or kneeled next to him. Well, I can't tell you the last time I ran. So I'm assuming this guy was young. Okay. He had an opportunity. He had an opportunity to receive the biggest blessing of his life. Jesus, you know, when he approached Jesus, he said, I have kept the law from my youth. You know, Jesus never disputed that. He didn't say, well, now, wait a minute. You remember, he didn't. I've never met anybody like that. This guy knew how to handle money. He did. I'm sure, and Jesus said he loved this young man. I'm sure he wanted him on his team. He wanted him to handle finances. He was good at what he did. He said, you know what? You're right, but there's one thing that you lack. Sell all you have. Take up the cross and follow me. Take up my cross and follow me. And he goes, oh, I can't. That's too much to ask. He had his eyes on his belongings instead of the Lord. You know, Proverbs tells us, I think in verse 24, I don't think I wrote this one down, but it's possible to give it all away and still prosper. He had the opportunity to give it all away and obtain even more. Folks, money is just a tool. And Malachi tells us, if you want to draw close to God, if you want to get back right with God, start learning how to release back to him what's his. And watch what he will do. Watch where this 30, 60, 700 fold return can happen in your life. And it's not just with money, it's with your life. It's what you say. It's how you act. How much everything, our whole life is filled and what's a good word? Our life consists of seed time and harvest. That's all we do. We're planting seeds. And if you're planting seeds in the spirit, you always have a harvest coming up. This isn't like in the natural where it's harvest time and then it's nothing for a while. When you're planting seeds in the spirit continually, there's a harvest continually. God wants to prove himself to us. So don't be unpersuadable. Be persuadable and say, okay, I'm going to try this because you asked me to. So if you're out there, if you've never tithed, if you've never understood this concept, if you don't understand the law of seed time and harvest, give God a shot. and find out what he'll do for you, not only for you, but for your family. Praise God. Don't be unpersuadable. Seek first the kingdom of God. If you do, if you focus on kingdom principles, your heart will follow. And if you could please bring up Romans chapter 12. How do I know what kingdom principles are? Well, thanks for asking. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Be teachable. Learn the word. This is a covenant. We're talking about covenants this morning. This is the last will and covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know, if it has any, whoever has been a part of the reading of a will, you know that what takes place at that reading is you find out what's yours. That's what this is. This Bible is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. And everything that pertains to life and godliness through him is yours. He shed his blood. This is signed in blood. And it, you know, there's a lot of Christians even that don't understand what covenant is. If you did a simple research on covenants in tribes around the world, just look it up sometime on the internet and see how severe it was to enter into a covenant. You begin to understand that all those came from this. There's blessings, there's cursings. In tribes in the Middle East, in Africa, even here, the American Native Indians, they understood covenant. They didn't understand people breaking it. Because in covenant, when you make it, you don't break it. You break it, you die. It's that severe. God came and died in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. He fulfilled this perfect law of love for us to be able to enter into, to be a part of his everlasting life and empower us with the things on earth we need to fulfill his purpose. So please research and begin to understand just how valuable it is to understand this blood covenant we have with Jesus Christ. Learn the word. Jesus said, learn of me in Matthew 11:28. Learn of me. I am the word. And who? John chapter 1 tells us that in the beginning was the word. And the word, he was God. And in verse 14, it tells us in John chapter 1 that he became flesh and dwelt among us. God El Shaddai, Jehovah, God Almighty, came to this world in the form of a man and died for man that he may have eternal life with him. So learn the word. We're talking about covenant. Find out what is in the last will and testament of Jesus Christ that is given to you. Don't wait. Waiting causes delays. Don't stay ignorant. Learn the word. Get the word in you that you may know. Knowing is the opposite of ignorance. If you could, please go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Study and show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. These are illustrations. This is all part of the covenant. God wants you to know. Study the word. Get into the word. The entrance of God's word brings forth light, illumination, to help you understand who you are in Christ, what God wants you to accomplish. It's not difficult to walk by faith. Everything God asks us to do, he made easy. He just asks that we believe he will do what he said he will do. He said he did all the work. And like Abraham, we simply need to believe. In Hebrews 11:6, it brings out an illustration about our father Abraham, along with many other places, but Hebrews chapter 11. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If there's anybody out there listening that is demanding proof that God exists, you won't get it. This covenant we've entered into is by faith and by faith alone. You cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ by demanding that God prove to you that he exists. You have to step into that realm. We're going to get into that in just a minute. You have to, the only way you're going to get in there to know that you know that he is by faith. That's the only way you're going to get there. So if you're listening and you're demanding proof, you'll never get it unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We simply need to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And as it says, it will be accounted to us for righteousness. Now, I love the Amplified Bible here in Matthew 6:33. We've already read this out of the King James. I want to read it in the Amplified Bible to bring out a certain point. But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, which is his way of doing and being right. The attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given unto you. But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive at the kingdom and his righteousness. His righteousness is his way of doing things. And it's right. The entrance of God's word brings forth light, illumination. This scripture, like every scripture, you must take by faith. His righteousness is his way of doing things. You can't go wrong. Now in Matthew 6, verse 26, it says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than them? Behold, look, consider, focus on the birds and how God takes care of them. He's given us a physical image here so we can see how kingdom principles work. The spiritual law of seed time and harvest, it works. It is God's way of doing things. And because it's his way of doing things, we do it also because it works. So whatever you do, every thought you have, every word you speak, every dollar you plant, it's a seed sown. And the way that we're going to see God's perfect will done in our life is through seed time and harvest. It's God's way of doing things. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. This tells us that word followers simply means to imitate God. And who is God? We already saw this in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. He is the Word, and he became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the great I Am, brought out in John chapter 8:58 and John chapter 13:19. He is the God of the Old Testament, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Yahshua, who became a man and died for us that we may live forever, that our sins may be forgiven. Not only are we to imitate or act like our Father, we're to speak like our Father, the way he speaks. We're to say and agree with his way, with his word. In Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, For he's faithful, I promise. That word hold fast means to cling to grab a hold of, to pin down, literally, pin down. It's like a bulldog with a bone. You try to get a bone away from the bulldog, you can't. That's another physical image for you to look at and realize what God is saying to us in his word is hold fast your profession of faith. And I just want to turn there real quick. Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold fast our profession of faith. That word profession in the Greek literally means it's a compound word to say the same thing, the same kind of words, the same kind of attitude, and to hold on to that truth. Hold on to the things that you know about God. Come what may, we're on the word to stay. I don't care what things look like in the natural. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Depend on the leading of the Holy Spirit. And say what he says. Hold fast. Hang on to. Cling. Don't let go of saying the same thing he says. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, life and death in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So choose life, as is brought out in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. God gives us some insight. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. Here's the covenant. You got the blessings, you got the cursings. Choose the blessing. God gives us the insight. Choose the blessings. Walk in the knowledge you have of him. Psalms, I didn't put this down, but Psalms 91, we brought this up, I think, last Sunday. Under the shadow of the Almighty, you need to be where God asks you to be. In your walk with God, don't veer off on all these other roads. Stick in the path where God has you to go. Stay under his protective wings. A lot of people are blaming God for mishaps in their life because they're out here in left field doing things they shouldn't be doing. And something comes upon them, something happens, and they're going, why'd this happen? And the Holy Spirit's always tugging in our heart going, well, I asked you to go over here. I asked you to do this. So we need to, by faith, listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit and stay under the covering of where God has you. If you're not hearing from the Lord, where are you? Get under the spigot where the word is being poured out. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the ministers that God places in your life. God is always pouring out into your life the things he wants you to know and see. He uses people to encourage. Iron sharpens iron. There's always someone that's going to bring something up to you in life, whether it's at the store and someone says, I love you. I mean, you may have needed that. I had a friend of mine back. He was the best man at my wedding. We were 16. And I looked through some old pictures. It was funny. I mean, I borrowed everything I was wearing. The jacket, pants, shoes, ties. It was all his brothers or his dad, who was a Baptist preacher. And then he's standing next to me. He looked pretty good. We both had really long hair. And it was a sight to behold, man. He called me up, or I called. We got in contact with each other. It's been years. I didn't even really know where he was. And he said something silly to me over a text. I said, man, I needed to hear that. It wasn't a thus saith the Lord. It was just he's a funny guy, man. And he just said something funny. And it lifted my spirit. You have the ability to change someone's life by a simple word, a simple look, a simple smile. You can do that for somebody if you're willing. Life and death in the power of the tongue. So choose blessings. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take there no thought for tomorrow shall take care of itself. Sufficient thereunto is the day of the evil thereof. Man, don't worry about things, folks. As difficult as things might look in the world right now, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Come what may, we're on the word to stay. We're talking about an attitude. We're talking about covenant. Be prepared. Spend time, as Pastor Henry is always encouraging us, in our prayer closets, studying the word, having an attitude of being persuadable when God asks you to do things. We're not of this world, but we're in it. And God wants to use each and every one of us to impact the world around us. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. And something I want to bring up in closing. We talked about the rich young ruler. You know, a lot of people, well, you'll hear in people talking, people saying things, man, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. No, it's not. God don't have a problem with money. It's hard for a rich man to go through an eye of a needle, but it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, it's a method of doing things. Heaven's a place, but the kingdom of God is a lifestyle. It's a choice. It's a realm you step into. It's something you enter into by faith. That rich young ruler had his eyes on his things and not on the Lord. It was difficult for him to let go of that. We all know we've all had to let go of things. And how great did that feel? The second we did it, there was deliverance. There was peace. There was joy. No matter what it is you're dealing with, there's something about letting go and letting God that changes our life forever. He had the opportunity to plant the biggest seed that he had ever planted, to receive the biggest reward he could have ever imagined. His barns would have been full, overflowing. So in your walk with God, understand the kingdom of God is something you enter into. It's that place of praise and worship in your time alone or at church or wherever you might be. The kingdom is something you enter into, you step into, you walk into, and like the Amplified Bible brings out in Matthew 6:33, it's God's way of doing things. His righteousness is God's way of doing things. And he's trying to teach us to be like him. I want to be like my dad, and I know you do too. I want to walk in the blessings of God that he has set before me. We have a covenant with him. Do not let anything stand in the way of what God's called you to do. Be assured in this thing that God, who started a good work in you, he'll finish that out. He will accomplish in your life what he wants to do. When God asked me to go back home when I first got saved, I was so assured that what he was saying, and I'm a new Christian, I was so sure that what he was saying was him talking to me. But it was difficult because my surroundings weren't lining up with what I was feeling in here. Long story short, we went, and it was his perfect will for our life at that time. So be spontaneous. When God tells you to do something, you're going to have all kinds of things come at you, like what if, I mean, doubting, questioning. Being wise is important, but being faithful to what God has told you to do at that moment will change your life, will change my life, will change anybody's life that steps into that realm to see the impossible done. And we saw miraculous things take place because we did that in people's lives. We saw miraculous things in our lives. We saw provisions come from, we'd never seen anything like it. People would just walk up, and don't be surprised. This is kingdom principles. If somebody walks up to you and says, I don't know why I'm doing this, but here's $100, or here's my car. I couldn't even sleep. I'm supposed to do this. And it could be an unbeliever. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. He got a covenant with God. The wealth of the world is at your disposal. And you'll notice those provisions as you step towards the goal that God has set before you. So step before that goal. Watch God open the doors. Watch these things take place. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you for tuning in to the show and listening to what God is saying to us and what God is saying to you. Father, we pray that your perfect will be done in all those that are listening. Father, we pray that you would, that your unction, that your anointing, your compulsion in them would come to life, that they would see clearly what it is that you would have them to do with their life today, tomorrow. We know you're coming, could be today. If not, could be tomorrow. If not, could be, I don't know. But I know the season, and your word says that we will know the season of the things that we are looking forward to. So we give you praise, glory, and honor for your soon return. And while we're here, continue to give us the wisdom and guidance we need to walk into, to step into your righteousness and see lives transform and change around us and our lives too, that we may glorify you in all we do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening today. Look for our new podcast, Showtime, this coming Wednesday. In the meantime, you can get updates and further information about our church at welcometotheshow.org. Until next time, God bless.